Good evening. This is a beautiful space. I'm really impressed. My name is Tish Perlman. I am the poet laureate, and I decided to read a poem that I wrote about coming to Ithaca. I came here 14 years ago. A lot of you people I met in that first year or so. So I wrote this poem about my how strange this place seemed as a kid from California. Moving east to Ithaca. When I first landed in the east after a childhood and most of my life along the California coast, I had never heard of storm windows. I had never heard the wiry electric buzz of cicadas. I thought the term down cellar sounded like it was missing a little grammar. I thought bluebirds were from fairy tales, not flashing like magic across the yard. I had never seen a wild turkey and thought I'd seen a strange, newly discovered dinosaur. I had never seen or dreamed there could be a word like Taganic, a mysterious and mangled railroad track of impossible sounds. When I first landed in Ithaca, I had never lived in snow, never seen the magic crystal flakes floating like fairies from nowhere, had never experienced a real winter wonderland day after day after day. I had never seen up close the bare bones of trees sprinkled in the landscape like a painting without color, only shadow. Never witnessed the small town feel of 1950s TV shows with firehouse fairs and chicken barbecues and generations who belong to a community where many have never left. But I live here now, the kid from the edge of California, who still dreams of coastal light and the smells of the sea and fog in the morning, and still believes bluebirds are from fairy tales, and snow magically falls from nowhere, and the bare bones of winter trees are the gifts of another life. Thank you. Thank you.
Mike, Chair of Capital Plan Review, would like to say anything?
Well, I'd just like to say that this is the first time we've sat at these desks as a group. Everybody's here, it looks like. And I wondered, as we put this together, whether we could all see each other pretty well. And I think it works out very well for that. And I think we can hear each other. You know, this room, these desks, these offices, are not about us. They're about the people. They are about the people we serve. They're the folks that elected us to be here to carry on the government of Tompkins County. They're the ones that pay the taxes, and they're the ones that go to work every day and become a part of our community. What a nice poem we just heard. What a great history we just heard. Thanks to everybody who did all the work. The contractors were wonderful. The architects, our own staff, everybody who worked so hard to put this all together. I'm very proud of this.
Thank you, Mike. And I would just point out, first I should have mentioned Jim Blizzard. Hi, Jim. Our technical wizard who enables us to broadcast our meetings to the public and now to live stream on the web. Very important that we are open and accessible to via the web, anybody, anywhere who wants to watch. Jim has made this move possible and worked out all the technological glitches. So I think, as you said, Mike, one of the features here is that everybody's looking at each other. I've been in legislature rooms that have rows like a school, you know, schoolroom, where everybody faces the front of the room. All different kinds, but I think it was very important to all of us that we have a space that people could see each other and that the public could see us. It is, I think, the best part of this move that now you folks aren't all crammed on two little benches with those measly red cushions in the back. And there are more chairs up here, and we're going to start a regular meeting in a minute, but I think that whole spirit that now we actually have room for the public to sit and breathe and feel comfortable was a very big advantage of making this move. So with that, again, I want to thank all of you for coming and sharing this moment with us. And I'd like to call the August 6th meeting of the Tompkins County Legislature to order. Would you please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance? Roll call of members.
Mr. Lane?
Here.
Ms. McAsey?
Present.
Mrs. McBean Claiborne?
Present.
Mr. McKenna?
Here.
Mr. Proto?
Here.
Ms. Pryor?
Here.
Mr. Robison?
Here.
Mr. Shinagawa?
Here.
Mr. Stein?
Here.
Mr. Burbank?
Here.
Ms. Chalk?
I am here.
Mr. Dennis?
Here.
Ms. Herrera?
Here.
Ms. Kiefer?
Present.
Ms. Robertson?
Here.
15 members present.
Proclamations, petitions, communications, and notices.
Communications are on the desks.
We'll begin with privilege of the floor for the public. And I've got a couple of people signed up before Bev leaves. Beverly? I should have mentioned, we have a couple of our former legislators here. I would like everybody to recognize Beverly Livesey.
Woo-hoo!
For
do you want to introduce the others? I have about five words to say.
Absolutely.
That.
But first, people should know, if anybody's wondered why our room in the Human Services Building is called the Beverly Livesey Conference Room, here's Beverly Livesey. Beverly, Bev, go ahead, please.
Okay. Well, nobody mentioned it, but I believe it was in 1976, the County Board of Representatives met in this room for a commemorative meeting. It was after the courthouse had been renovated to have court space in it once again. Before that, as Carol just briefly alluded to, the DeWitt Historical Society had the museum in here, and the building had been used for various things. But it was reverting to courthouse use, and the board commemorated that and had one meeting here. So that's been one intervening meeting in all of those years. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Beth. And Stu Stein. Former member and former chair of the legislature. Would you like to say anything, Stu? Okay. Did I miss any other former legislators? Mike Sigler here from Lansing. Do you want to say anything? Okay. All right, fine. All right. So for public privilege of the floor, I have Audrey Cooper, then Barbara Komen. What's the matter?
Yeah, Martha, I don't know if you're aware of this, but the your microphone keeps breaking in and out. And
I thought so.
Probably mostly out rather than working.
Jim, is there anything? Do I have to be closer? All right, I'll just try to stay close to it.
Make
every other word count? Okay. All right, Audrey, go ahead.
Thank you, this is where you'd like us to stand for purpose.
Yes.
Thank
yes.
you. Congratulations on your new space. It really is very lovely. I'm Audrey Cooper. I work for the Multicultural Resource Center at Cornell Cooperative Extension, and I'm here just to give you a very brief update about what we're doing. First, I would like to say thank you to county legislators who've gone before you and for those of you presently for your support, your funding support over the years that have really allowed MRC to really grow to be a name within the community and in the county, the many programs that we do. One of which, and I'm going to gift you with this, be careful pulling out the buttons because, you know, sometimes the things come undone on the back and I don't want you to prick yourself. But it's our First People's Festival that is coming up October the 5th, Saturday, here in DeWitt Park. And it is the only Native American Indigenous-based festival in our area. And if you've come through there before, you know how great it is. This year, it's even more exciting. We've invited Latino Civic Association with indigenous roots into Tainos and other indigenous peoples from South America to take part with us. We also will have the more children's activities because the Apple Harvest Festival is happening the same weekend, and with the commons being torn up, we've invited them to also share space with us. So as is the Indian way of doing things. We also are involved with the Tuvo Wampum Renewal Campaign, which marks the 400th anniversary of this really important treaty that our indigenous peoples living side by sides with all other two-leggeds. And as you know, this renewal campaign has been happening over the summer, and I have some brochures for you on that. And I know that Ms. Leslin McBean Claiborne also has a member status about this. You know, we're a small organization doing really big work, thanks in anti-racism, being a partner and understand to overcome throughout the county, which has been very successful. Sister Friends event, really building multicultural relationships, talking circles on race and racism. We received a 3-year cooperative extension, did a 3-year grant to do an in-depth evaluation to figure out what is the impact of talking circles in the communities. Unfortunately, that did not come with staff salary, but it came for the evaluation, which we're very pleased to be able to do. And that grant ends in 2015. And as we roll out the results, Dr. Sean Eversley-Bradwell and Dr. Belisa Gonzalez will be having meetings throughout the communities that we serve. So if you have questions, I'd be happy to take them. But once again, thank you so very much.
Thank you, Audrey. Barbara Komen from the Human Rights Commission.
As she said, I'm Barbara Komen. I'm the newly elected chair of the Human Rights Commission. And I'm honored to stand here before you in that capacity. I very much look forward to working with our new director, Karen Baer. She and I have been in communications with one another, even though she's been in Switzerland. It seems from our communications that we are very much going in the same direction. And we both want the entire county to be aware that the Human Rights Commission exists, and we would like to educate the population of the entire county on what is available to them. We will be looking to build a commission of individuals with diverse backgrounds and with diverse interests in the areas of human rights. Individuals who will be the voice in the community. Individuals who are passionate about the rights of all people. I have a great deal to learn about my role, and I want to thank Frank because last meeting he came up, introduced himself, and volunteered to meet with me and with Karen to share history and information with us. And thank you, Frank. I will probably need lots of mentoring in this. I also know that Leslin and Paula will also be of great help to me. And I look forward to working with all of you in the way that is appropriate. And I honestly do not know what's appropriate yet. And to learn from you. Yeah, Leslin, she's laughing. She's one who's responsible, along with Audrey, for me even being on the Human Rights Commission a little over 3 years ago. I moved here 7 years ago from Los Angeles. My background is in human resources, laws and regulations, management training, management consulting, and keeping companies out of trouble. When I left Los Angeles, thinking I was retiring, I told myself that I would not learn the laws and regulations of New York, you know, anything pertaining to business, because I'm not going to be involved in that again. Well, guess what? I better start learning very quickly, and I will. And again, thank you for the work you are doing. Paula has my contact information, and by the way, just as an aside, Paula did an amazing job as chair of the selection committee. So thank you very much for the work you're doing, and I do look forward to working with all of you.
Thank you very much, Barbara. Are there any other members of the public who'd like to speak? What? Thank you. There's a mic on that side, two mics. So. Okay, good.
So congratulations. I think the Corps got the raw end of the deal here. Can't even believe it. They're going to come over and take this space now, too, probably.
Oh.
I still live in Lansing, and obviously the big topic of conversation up in Lansing is the power plant. I haven't seen anything roll out of the Tompkins County Legislature yet, and this is the resolution that was passed by the town. It's basically a mirror image of that, and I'm just here to ask you all to seriously consider this resolution. I have approached Brian Robeson about it and asked him to consider it, and so far, everything looks good on his end with that. It basically is just asking for a conversion to natural gas. I went to this meeting, and I have never seen more people at a meeting in Tompkins County. I mean, it was standing room only at the middle school, over 800 people, unions, pretty much everybody in town is in support of this repowering of the plant with natural gas. So I'm hoping that as a legislature, you can get behind this and put this forward and maybe get this out there, because obviously, we've done this with other resolutions, you know, for things of less import. You know, if it's not the largest taxpayer in the county, certainly one of the largest, I know the town and the schools completely rely on this. And obviously, yes, if it were to close, we would have to make adjustments. But I don't think those adjustments are something that the town is up for at this moment. And this power plant has been a critical part of the community for so long. And I think so many people support this that I'm really hoping the Tompkins County Legislature can take a look at this resolution, tweak it as you want, but the repowering seems to be what's in the best interest of everybody in the town. So thank you very much for your time. Again, congratulations on the new space.
Thank you, Mike. Any other members of the public? Go ahead.
Hello, my name is Bob Ritter, and I'm the Executive Director of the Cancer Resource Center of the Finger Lakes. Actually, when I was sitting here, I've spent the last 6 months thinking about what color to paint my house. And these colors are gorgeous, and I've like solved my problems. So coming here has been terrific for me already. I really just wanted to introduce the Cancer Resource Center again. Most of you know it. It's interesting that cancer is a topic that we tend to keep at arm's length until it directly affects you. And unfortunately, cancer affects lots of people. The most common question that we hear is when someone walks into our front door and says something to the effect of, I just got diagnosed with cancer, I don't even know what questions to ask. And people come to us, and our job is to really help people navigate through the systems, connect with them, try to make life better that day for that person. And we've really done a significant job of that. We're now beginning our 20th year. Hard to believe that we began as the Ithaca Breast Cancer Alliance. We evolved to a broader mission about 7 years ago to become the Cancer Resource Center. We really try hard to serve every niche of our community. And for example, in the handout, there's one new brochure, which is for people with serious mental illness who then get cancer. You might think that's a really tiny population, but we actually serve a fair number of people who have schizophrenia, have bipolar disorder, and then they get cancer. And it's a double challenge. And we actually looked around to find resources for them, and there wasn't anything. So we worked together with the Mental Health Association and created our own brochure. And it's interesting that we've actually become a national model. A lot of what we do here isn't done elsewhere. And people come to us and say, how do you do that? And also, there's another handout here about our connection to Cornell. We've connected doctoral students in basic sciences at Cornell in chemistry and biochemistry with our clients who have cancer. And it exposes the researchers to things like cost of care, side effects, things they aren't exposed to in the lab. And it also exposes our clients to the future of cancer research. Again, there are lots of programs nationally that combine clinical people, like nurses, med students, with people with cancer. But this is the first program that combines scientists with cancer. And we really try to leverage our community. We have incredible resources here. And we have 80 volunteers who help our small staff of 4 people. But, you know, it's our motto is that no one should face cancer alone. And that's why we're here. And we very much appreciate your support through the years. So thank you.
Thank you very much, Bob. Anyone else?
I'll try this side. Is it working?
Okay. Absolutely.
All right. I'm here to in support of the remote net metering resolution.
And, Brian, your name? And
Brian Eden. I'm with the EMC, Environmental Management Council. In 2010 and 2011, when the county's electricity contract was expiring, we were entered negotiations with the administration about including more renewable energy services in their portfolio. We prevailed on them to bring Gordon Boyd and Barbara Blanchard in to talk about it. And ultimately, the county purchased separately from its electricity production item a renewable energy certificates. So earlier this last week, we were asked to come to a meeting with Joe and Ed and to discuss a new possibility, and that's what's before you today. And, you know, it was the executive committee, and we met afterwards and voted to support this wholeheartedly. Now, you know, as our goal is to encourage more renewable energy production in the county, become more self-sufficient, the state has placed many barriers in our path, like lack of feed-in tariffs, no group net metering, a 3% cap on non-utility production for the whole state. So we're going to be back urging you to help us unshackle our residents who want to do the right thing. And if you look at the Solarize effort, more than 300 families are involved. So this isn't asking for government to do this. People are ready to do it. They just have to have the barriers removed. So we support this resolution. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Brian. Anyone else? All right, thank you. Are there any municipal officials who'd like to speak to the legislature? I don't see anyone. All right, legislators. Carol?
Hi. It's amazing to be in this room. I don't think that I've seen my colleagues on this side of the room, except for Kathy and Will. Nathan, we used to sit next to each other, and we may as well have been in separate rooms. So this is amazing. But what I want to say to the public about this is I hope the day will come again when we will, as a matter of course, take it as a matter of course that our government is housed in a room worthy of the concept of democracy, a room where we engage in reasoned discourse even when we disagree. That is a concept that's worth celebrating and worth honoring with a room like this. And the fact that the court system picked us out of our space and we were able to inhabit this historic space makes it all the more special. So I just look forward to, I won't be here for many, many, many years, but that there will be as many, many years in this beautiful room as there was when with this beautiful desk as there was with the former. So I'm just thrilled to be here. And we will get the hang of all these doohickeys.
Thank you, Carol. That's the technical term. Anyone else? Frank? Pat?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Since we're doing nostalgia, I'm surprised. I'm glad that Beverly was here. Some of us met in this room with what was the precursor to the Workforce Investment Board. It used to be called the Job Training Partnership Act Board, JTPA. and we met here for a long time. Randy Harmon was the individual. Some of you may remember him. But that was the beginning of workforce investment. The other concern, I have a couple of announcements I want to make, but if any of you had trouble being seated tonight, Jim Dennis was acting as the concierge, and he said there was about a 15-minute wait.
There was a 20-minute wait.
20-minute.
Give him a tip.
I want to thank the legislators and members of the staff who were able to make the TCAT budget presentation last week. We had a number of you there, and that budget presentation is always a little sensitive. I know on behalf of Pam and Peter, and in the past, Kathy, thanks for coming, because that's going to get a little testy as we have to replace buses. Those of you that were able to come to the 4-H fair two weeks ago, it's a very unique and very nice opportunity to see what the kids are doing in the county. And that took place, no rain, which is always a test. I want to invite you to an event that's coming up in Brooktondale on the 17th. And I know Mike Lane is an aficionado, and so is Dooley. It's the Brooktondale Zucchini Festival. So I want to make sure that you get a special invitation to that. Nathan said that he'd be happy to be a judge, so I'm looking forward to that, Nathan.
What are the criteria?
What's the criteria? I'll fill you in. The only other item that I had for public dissemination right now is the watch fire out in Lansing. Next month, some of you have been able to make that in the past. The Vietnam veterans are very aggressive about putting that on, and it's in Pat's district. So I'd like to make sure that you folks have a heads up. I believe it's the 17th of September, but it's not too soon. It's usually out of Friday. I don't have any announcements about NYSEG tonight. I think we're going to be hearing a lot about that as the month goes on. Thank you, Madam Chair. Lovely. Even though Cindy held out for blue, some of us held out for green. Where'd she go? Cindy said she destroyed the board that had the green on it, and it was supposed to be saving posterity. Some of you will know what I'm talking about. Others look as puzzled as I did at that meeting. But thanks, Cindy. And thank you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is
blue. Okay. Frank, I think that the some of us who preferred the green was kind of you.
some of us wanted the old desks.
Was that right? Was that the royal us?
I guess lost on that one too. Martha, say a few more words so we know if your mic is on.
I'll probably have plenty to say. Maybe if I stay right here, maybe that's what it is. Okay. I'll try. All right. Not moving my head. Pat and then Brian.
Thank you, Martha. I just wanted to invite everyone. This Saturday is our Lansing Harbor Fest at Myers Park, and it goes from noon to 6 p.m. We'll be having a lot of fun out there, various booths, lots of people with things to see and things to do. There'll be good music, chicken barbecue, face painting, all kinds of fun things going on. So please come out and join us as we celebrate Harbor Fest in Lansing on Saturday. And I wanted to check with Frank on this, but isn't Saturday also Farm City Day?
It is.
Yes.
And Saturday is also Women's Swimming.
Yeah. That's true.
Care.
Yeah. So it's a busy weekend. You'll have to go from one event to the other to take them all in. Now, hope to see you this weekend. Thank you.
Thank you, Pat. Brian?
Thanks.
And I, too, would like to congratulate, especially Arell and Graham. This is really much nicer than I had envisioned it. And good job to all of you. I do have one complaint. Yes, we can see each other. I don't know if that's necessarily a good thing. I'm sitting there staring at Frank Nostalgia or Proto down there. But at any rate, I would like to.
And IU, Brian.
Yeah. I would like to also extend an invitation next weekend, Friday and Saturday, is Groton Old Home Days. And for everyone that can see their way up to our corner of the county, it's always a real good event. Finished off by a grand parade Saturday at 6 p.m., and my understanding is that there is a contingent from Tompkins County government that's going to be there. Marcia, maybe you could shed a little more light on that. Do you have a mic over there, or can you find one? Or?
We will have a mic over here. There's going to be another podium. And by the way, people, the three seats that are empty at the back there, folks should know, that's where if somebody's making a presentation, say a department head making a budget presentation, that's where that's where they'll sit. But Marcia, please come on over here or go to the back, wherever. We would like to know. I have heard about that there's a banner and things like that.
Yeah.
I saw the dragon.
Yes, there will be a contingent from Tompkins County, representatives of several departments, who are going to be there marching in the parade behind a brand new Tompkins County banner. And we are very happy to be putting this together. Another person who I'm working directly with on that is Jeff Dunn from the Solid Waste Management Division. And we look forward to being there at the event next Saturday.
That's this Saturday or next Saturday? The date?
Next Saturday, the 17th.
17th, yeah.
Great, thank you. Thank you, Brian.
Thank you.
Jim and then Dave.
Thank you, Martha. I came in here this evening, and the county clerk insulted me, but I laughed at it. She said, I look like a waiter, and I said, well, you have a 20-minute wait, and other people I was letting in before her. I wrote a note to Nate as we were sitting down here, and it says, I just feel like I have to behave myself now. And then Frank started talking, so that's gone. But anyway, thank you to all the people who worked very hard to get this done, especially the committee. And I'm hoping that some of us will still be alive in 80 years when the new legislature room is made and they can come back and see what is left of this one. I think it will still be here. I appreciate the fact that many people work very hard on this, and I'm hoping that all of us and future legislatures can make the room proud.
Thank you, Jim. Dave?
Yes, I'd like to remind everybody that the National Night Out in Newfield tonight, I'm not sure what other communities, I guess everyone has it, but nevertheless, in Newfield, you're more than welcome to come out. Starts 5:30 at the Fire Hall.
Thank you, Dave. We've got Nate, Leslin, and Mike.
I have two things. The first is that I was recently at a Young Elected Officials Network conference, and it was interesting. There were four of us from Tompkins County, but if you actually looked at all the young elected officials from across Tompkins County, you could probably get about seven or eight people there. Which means that we are probably the most, we have the most number of young elected officials under the age of 35. So that was cool. But what was cooler than that is that we were talking a lot about progressive budgeting. We were talking about program-based budgets, a more transparent budget process. And a number of years ago, actually, Joe came to the Young Elected Officials Conference, and he was invited as a speaker. And ever since then, it's been a very big topic. And still, a lot of people go to the Tompkins County Legislature website and look at that as a model for how they want to do their budgets in the future. A lot of communities are still doing line item budgets that aren't transparent, that don't make it easy for people to understand where the money's going. And so I think it's great that we have such a budget process. And so thank you to everybody in administration that makes that possible, and I'm saying that in advance of our budget process that will soon be beginning. The second thing that I want to talk about, just very briefly, is that in the New York Times, Ithaca was featured on Monday, and it was a discussion about how the city and the universities have been able to partner to create jobs, and I think it was a great piece. The only thing that was missing from it, I think, was the work that that TCAD has done, Tompkins County Area Development, and also the Industrial Development Agency in helping make these partnerships possible and bringing these jobs here. But overall, it was a very good piece, and I think really showed how Ithaca has been able to thrive in an area that's otherwise, as they said, economically struggling. And so I think a lot of people around New York State can learn from what we're doing here in Tompkins County.
Thank you, Nate. I was going to point that out also about the Industrial Development Agency and the policies of TCAD. Yeah, thanks. I've got Leslyn and then Mike.
So Nathan mentioned budgeting, and I had in my head to announce a workshop on participatory budgeting that is happening, and I think it's this week. My colleague over here is trying to help me get the date because I just blanked on it. But, pardon? Thursday. Time. Who's that?
Kevin.
Kevin. Kevin is all up in the computer. Get it, Kevin. Well, we'll get the time. It's happening at GIAC. And,
yep, Kevin's got it.
6:30 at GIAC, and so all are invited to come. I do want to say a great big thank you to the folks who worked on making this space look like it is for us. I came in here. I tried not to come in. I held off the whole time. I was going to be pleasantly surprised today. But I had to come get my, what do you call it, fob? That nice little magic wand thing. And I was in here using language that is not becoming of a legislature because it was just so cool. Things were flying out of my mouth that my mother will wash my mouth out with soap if she heard me. But thank you all. It was really very pleasant to walk in and see it just the way it is. As a person in theater, it sort of felt almost Broadway-ish. So get ready for some dramatic showdowns, I would suppose. I also want to say a great big thank you to Beverly for being here. I know, you know, it's not often that she's able to get out, but it was really nice to see her. I know her legacy in this body, this legislature, the Board of Representatives is very deep, and so it was very nice to see her and very nice to see Stu out as well. And to Barbara, I want Barbara to bottle the enthusiasm that Barbara has for her new role as chair of the Human Rights Commission. She's been very, very enthusiastic about this and sharing everywhere she goes just how privileged she feels to serve on an advisory board. And it's just one of those things that rubs off on you, and I want to bottle it and just pass it on to everyone else and encourage people to sign up for the many, many boards that, and advisory bodies that we have that still need individuals. So if Barbara can do it, the rest of John Public out there and Susie Public can do it as well. So thanks, Barbara.
Thank you, Leslie. Mike, and then Will.
Last Friday, I had the honor of attending the commencement at TC3 for the Global Initiatives graduates. And every summer, you get a group of students from predominantly South America, but from Spain and Central America as well. And they come in and are immersed in English as a second language. They learn business. They learn several different kinds of careers. They do that two summers. They work with their colleges at their homes, the Dominican Republic, Colombia, for example. And they end up with a joint double degree, one from their own university and one from the college here at TC3. They're wonderful. Their parents come up very often. It's video streamed down to their homes for those that parents that can't come. There are probably 60 or 70 of them this time. And in the future, please come to it. It's a wonderful, moving experience. Doesn't take a whole afternoon. It's very nice. There was a nice write-up in the Cortland Standard about it. Didn't make the local paper, but I'm going to pass this around so that anybody would like to look at a couple of the pictures and see the article, they can do that. Thank you.
Thank you, Mike. Will.
Thank you, Martha. I'd just like to add my two cents for appreciation for this new space, and hopefully you're hearing me on the mic. You know, when you move into a house or a new apartment, there are always things that have to be corrected, and I think the sound is one of those. I think the lights overhead have been driving me crazy. I don't have any plan to go on Broadway, but I'm told that the reason this is basically so that we visually will be more visible on television. There are two things that I think about this space that make it very significant. You know, we're sitting around this thing. I don't think desk is quite the right word. I don't know what it is, but you know, it's a very, very elaborate, filled with electronics thing that brings us all together, gives us better lines of sight, and hopefully will last for years. But we are temporary residents, and we exist here to serve the larger public. And one of the things I really, really like about this space is for the first time, I think we are treating the people who actually come down to see us and sit through our meetings with the respect that they deserve and have long lacked at our old meeting space. And that's very good. What is not yet, I think, visible is the things that have been built into this space that will allow us to convey public information when we're doing the budget. There above us are some screens that will be coming down, and we will all, wherever you sit in this room, you'll be able to see the details of the documents that we're talking about. As you may recall, at our old space, whenever something was projected, literally it was behind the public's heads, and they could not see. Much, much needed improvement. So I think we've created this space. It is for the public, and I truly hope the public will come down and share in the joy of this wonderful civic space that we've put together. And I would just note in passing that this was truly a collective effort. I think every vote was unanimous. I think, you know, there are details. Maybe we would have chosen a slightly different color. I would have said, let's do different lights. But, you know, collectively, it all worked. And I really, really want to applaud the entire body for bringing us to this point. Thank you.
Thank you, Will. Kathy Luce and then Mike.
Thank you. I'm going to try this new configuration. Can people hear me? I'm going to try that. Okay. This is great. I've been listening to what different impressions people have of this. And first of all, I want to segue on what Mike said about the TC3 graduation. If you go, you'll never think of a graduation the same. You will see people you know, and TC3 will have changed their lives. So it's a very cool thing and a celebration, community celebration on so many levels. The other thing I want to talk about this is this. Will, you may have seen it as a process of unanimity, but this has been a long time in the making. And personally, I believe that discussion and dissent actually come up with better decisions. And Julie knows, she's looking at me knowingly. Early on in this process, there was, after all, how many of you have ever gotten had a chance to buy a new car from the very beginning and outfitted just like you wanted, or a new house? Well, this isn't like that. The thing is, we had a make-do with what we were forced into doing, and through the years, the decisions that we made, we tried to come up with the best approach that we could to serving the public and to having transparent meetings. It's cool. I mean, I like it. The things that bothered me, the sound. When I first came in here, the sound was just terrible. I think that's been accommodated really well. And, there's a bunch of other things, but I want to praise all the people that have been involved with it recently and all the legislatures, current and before. Actually, I like the light. To me, it's task lighting. I couldn't read in the older legislature chambers, and I was always taking my glasses on and off to read. This is the lighting level that I need to read. I know it's a little bit hot, But let's face it, I mean, I brought a coat because I'm used to over there where it's about 30 degrees cooler. So, yeah, there's going to be things we have to get used to. But you know what? It's a nice new home, and I want to congratulate everybody involved with it, and me too, because I had some early input and maybe some criticisms, many of which were addressed in the process. Thank you.
Thank you, Kathy Luce. Mike, and then Frank again.
Hate to cast a pall, but I did important that I mentioned that we've lost a former legislator, actually one of the very first legislators from Tompkins County after the new charter was adopted in the late 1960s, and that was the first legislator from Dryden, Marion Schickel. And Marion Schickel passed away. She was over 90. She was a fixture of our community. She was affectionately called Marnie, and to everyone, and she had 13 children, and who all but one survived her, and she always was involved in community activities. She served the one term on the legislature, decided it was a little too political for her. That's when they had, how many votes for Chair Frank? 70 or 80, something like that. But she was a real model for us to think about, and I just wanted to note that she has passed.
Thank you, Mike. Frank?
Thanks, Martha. Mike, we're not going back to weighted voting. I was reminded, a serious note, I was reminded by something Will said about the access to this room with regard to the public, and now that things are televised and the electronics and whatnot. I did have a consumer note that I neglected to mention earlier on the privilege of the floor. Time Warner, as of the end of July, has removed channel 15, and the if you had access to the Washington station also, they're on a higher tier now, and you have to access them using a digital TV, or you can rent. Right now the box is free, but as of the first of the year, they'll be charging a fee for it. The reason I bring it up is that several years ago, when the FCC started talking about bandwidth, the idea was that no one would have to lose their analog TV. And the concern was that you had a lot of senior citizens who really, their TVs worked fine, and this was perceived to be an indirect cost to them to pitch their analog TV for digital television. Well, guess what? As of the end of July, if you have an analog TV and you do not have Time Warner's extra box, you will not get these televised. I realize how wonderful this is, but the concern I have now, in my district, we have a lot of senior citizens and folks that can't afford to switch. Just wanted to alert you that as nice as this is, everybody is not getting this broadcast.
Thank you, Mike. Frank. Sorry.
It's okay.
Carol?
Can I ask a question about that? My understanding was that Time Warner needed to present the government channel as part of their charter with or agreement with the city. Is that no longer operative?
Mike, is the franchise?
Yes, it has the obligation of Pegasus, which is the public, which is Channel 13, educational and governmental access, which is 14 and 15 and 16 now. And it pushed C-SPAN up a couple years ago, the higher tiers, and it took away several stations, analog stations here in the last few months. And now it's moved this. The Peacock Cable Group actually recommended to municipalities, and many of them did, send letters to the FCC objecting, saying that not only were these stations being pushed over to a different tier, and people would be losing them and having to pay more for them, but also they were recovering for Time Warner much greater bandwidth from the analog stations that they'll be able to use for something else.
So to watch us, what will somebody still be able to watch us? They just have to. They have to pay.
They got to get different equipment.
Yeah. They need the digital equipment.
You got to have a box. A lot of people have what are called cable-ready TVs. Right. They just put the cable in and they run it. Remote controls for their TVs. They don't have boxes, which are addressable. Addressable boxes mean that they can have things sent to their home, for example, pay-per-view programming. And so I would assume that as a cable provider, they want to see more and more of those boxes in people's homes.
Okay, so is this something that we could ask our attorney to draft something for us to weigh in? It just seems to me that that's providing the government channel as part of the base service is the minimum we should be
since
asking.
We don't have a franchise, I really think the right vehicle is through TCOG.
And the municipalities are working together on those negotiations this year like they haven't ever before. So, and Mike's been part of that, even though we're not directly involved. Mike's been participating in that on our behalf. So thank you for that, Mike. And Frank, thanks for raising that. Peter.
Yeah, on a somewhat lighter note, I noticed that people are having a hard time figuring out what to call this. It's certainly not a desk. And it certainly is not a table. What's the word? Well, when I sat down here, it popped into my mind exactly what it is. So I don't know, some of you know I took a vacation in June. I took my grandson for a trip around Iceland. Let me tell you what this looks like. This is the image of a Viking boat. The Viking ships that sailed from Norway to the Mediterranean, to Iceland, to England, even to North America, were about this size and that same shape. And they had no compasses. So, anyway, just think about that.
Is there a message there, Peter?
They got where they were going, and I'm afraid Andrew's taking notes, so it's going to be called a Viking boat from now on, right?
Or Noah's Ark.
Well, I would point out it's 21 desks, I guess, counting the three up here. If there's anybody else, any other comments from the legislature? All right. So for my report, just to continue, if the lights are an issue, you also have, everybody has their own light at the desk there. That helps you with directional light, especially when we dim the lights for our presentations. I'd point out that the table over here, where many of our staff are sitting, finally they have a table to sit at instead of just another bench. Committees are invited to meet here, which would certainly make it more accessible and easy for our staff and frees up the old jail conference room so that public meetings, other groups can meet in there. We also got booted out of the courthouse conference room, which we used to use quite regularly, by moving out of the other courthouse. So this is at least the second space that if we're still using the old jail, we have this room, this table as well. And I would like to I'd like to point out from this space, from this point of view, I remember looking at all kinds of wires and those microphone stands and the tape on the floor, you know, where the cable used to go and we had tape to cover it, and it's marvelously empty in the middle of this desk, and instead of being full of those wires that were just impossible. So those are just a couple of the notes here. I would also like to formally extend an invitation to TCOG to meet here. That this is a room available for the public, and I would invite, I think, the municipal governments that meet here, that meet together. We'd certainly be fitting an available and appropriate space for Tompkins County Council of Governments to come here once a month. Pat?
If I may, there is one other thing I should have thought to say previously. Thank you. The other thing that I would like to note about this new space is the improvements that have been made in accessibility. I don't know how many of you have noticed I don't have a separate speaker on my workspace, and I am able to hear what's going on, which is a tremendous improvement for me. And I would point out that even when the time comes, and I'm sure it will at some point, where we have a legislator who uses a chair, this room, this space would be accessible, and that person would be able to participate on the same basis as everyone else. We have a restroom up here on the second floor that's accessible, and in other ways, we have made provision for accessibility that I think is very much in keeping with what our community expects of us.
Thank you, Pat. And I would point out that the chairs, this seat is also accessible. The desk part can go up or down if somebody's in a wheelchair. And actually, the chair has a chair now. People didn't know. People wouldn't know that previously it was impossible to sit down and actually be at the microphone when you were at the podium. So that's changed. So that's good. I just wanted to mention another designation. The city of Ithaca is one of the top 10 places in the country to live. We got on another one of those lists in the last 2 weeks, and was it Kiplinger's? I think recognized for access to health, quality health care, short commutes, good quality jobs. Not for you, Nathan, I know. there's just another recognition for our county seat. So that's my report. I'm going to the Southern Tier Regional Council meeting tomorrow in Binghamton. We'll be looking at considering the next round of priority projects for the Regional Council grants. This is August 12th is the deadline for consolidated funding applications, but we'll be discussing the next round. I think Carol had her hand up, and then Frank.
Well, actually, I had my hand up from back under privilege of the floor by legislators, so I was going to thank people in a different direction. If that's out of order.
Well, let's go to Frank and then come back.
I have a question about your report, or associated with your report. In the last 2 weeks, there's a group based in Saratoga that announced that they are looking to establish a horse park similar to the one opposite the track down in Kentucky. And my question is, as you're meeting with the regional council, with all due respect to our colleagues in Saratoga, I don't know who blessed Saratoga with having the inside track on that. There are other parts of the state that would love to establish a horse, but it's for eventing and not racing, just eventing and shows and that type of thing. And we have the foremost veterinary college in the United States here. I would think that we might have a shot at that. It would be interesting if you could bring that up at a regional council meeting, particularly because of the economic impact and the job creation. We have tourism to beat the band here, and it would be a really nice addition. If you could bring back any information, it would be wonderful.
Absolutely. I'll keep my ears open. Thanks, Frank. Carol?
Yeah, I just wanted to take a minute to thank Ken Lansing, Derek Osborne, and the rest of the Sheriff's Department. Mike Hattery was here earlier and mentioned the PSC hearing that was conducted. Mike Sigler was here, and while he and Pat Pryor and some other people here share a perspective, there were many people here and there, about half the room, who had a different perspective. And the atmosphere that was created by both the school district, which is where the hearing was held, and our sheriff's department, and all of the attendees, really, was really quite remarkable. on a topic that where there could have been a disagreement. There were tables available for people of all perspectives. There was parking available. There was a very lengthy process. We were in the room for 6 hours, and anybody who signed up, there were 117 people signed up to speak, and the hearing examiners stayed there. By the end, they're really not everybody got a chance to speak because people had to go home. But our sheriffs in particular were responsible for helping to create that atmosphere, and I want to thank them. All through this, as people have come out, they have been very helpful.
Thank you, Carol. That's my report, except to say that we're going to be juggling resolutions on the agenda so that, trying to look at who's here in the audience, that people don't have to stay any longer than necessary. I will take Resolution E on Omega first when we get to the resolutions. Let me point out for the Holt staff who are here, it's my understanding that Resolution L is going to be withdrawn. I don't know. What?
Labella.
Labella.
No.
Okay. I'm still here. Okay. In case anybody's here for Resolution L about the Human Services Building renovation, that will be withdrawn. Why don't I just, right now, just for the fun of it, mix things up and say, are there any resolutions to be added to or withdrawn from the agenda? Mike.
I'd like to withdraw Resolution L, and that will come back in 2 weeks.
All right. So Resolution L will come back in 2 weeks. Thank you. Leslin?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd like to add Resolution M, a member filed resolution, to our agenda.
Thank you. Is there a seconded by Pam? And that is in our packets. All right. M? Sorry. Does everybody have it? I've got it. Okay. Resolution in support of the two-row wampum renewal campaign. All right, it's been moved and seconded. All in favor of adding that to the agenda, please raise your hand. Opposed? That's unanimous. All right, so that'll be added at the end. Anything else? All right, then we'll go to County Administrator's Report. Joe Mariana.
Thanks, Martha, and I'll be brief. It's a pretty intimidating room. It's amazing. It is beautiful, and I think all of us have to remark on what a great job it was. I just want to pass along my appreciation to beginning with Arel. You recall that Arel wasn't feeling really well during a lot of this project and still was vital to what has happened here, taking it from a concept to this reality, and I really want to thank him for the work. Graham Gillespie, who often we forget is the president of a major architectural firm who sat through a lot of committee meetings that went on for a long time to make decisions, fortunately, because it turned out great, and we really appreciate what he did, and Cindy Kaufman, who added touches of, I think, real elegance and beauty to the room. So I appreciate all that. The Capital Plan Review Committee, it sat through all those meetings, the coordinating the effort. I remember blue tape on the floor. I remember tarps on the wall to show where screens would be. I remember more votes for chairs than I think the people conclave considered recently. So the patience that was shown and the vision that was shown there really has paid off, and this is really a beautiful, beautiful room. I think it respects the people that we serve. I also worry about the chair having a chair. I don't know if that means the meetings will go longer or not, but it's a good thing. It's a good thing. I just want to say, Brian talked about Groton Old Home Days. We are going to be participating in that. We hope that's not going to be an isolated event. That last year, I think Leslin got us aware of the fact that we need to be out there more. We need to be a face in the community and show people who we are and the diversity of what we do. I think people will be surprised when they see the range of things that this county does and the fact that there are real people like us who deliver those services. So this is really one step in a direction the next year. We've had a conversation with the department heads already hopefully will get us out to more community events and let people know what their county does and the kinds of services that we provide. So I think you'll see us much more active and in the community next year. I wanted to post you on a couple of things that we've been talking about that are really now coming to the floor, the livable wage. I've tried to keep you posted on where we've been in that group ever since we began to meet back in April. We're basically done. There's a report that has been drafted. It will be circulated and released publicly very soon. It will come to GO at its August committee. And that will really be, it'll be an opportunity for us to explain what the findings and recommendations were that came out of that effort. And at that point, it's really up to the legislature to decide whether to accept those recommendations and proceed or to make any changes that it chooses. So it's a part of a process, but it is moving forward, and an important milestone has now been met there. The other important thing, and you received a memo last week, I think, on the library structural deficit group that's been meeting for several months. That is now with you with some suggestions about the ways to approach that structural deficit. It will also head to GO the end of August. So if you're on that committee, plan on a fairly long meeting. But some really important issues that are going to be coming your way in both of those areas. A nice, pleasant thing, I'd like to introduce the newest member of our staff. He may be the newest resident of Tompkins County. Kevin McGuire is one of those folks who at least was sitting behind us, if Kevin wants to wave. Kevin is the new program analyst in the office and will be involved in doing some of the performance measurement work that we've talked about doing for some time that will make us a more data-driven government. Kevin comes to us from Chicago, where he last served as the Director of Sustainability for DePaul University, has lots of credentials that go beyond that. So he moved to town last week, and he started to work with us today. I guess I'd close this by reminding you we are in the budget process right now. All the departmental requests have been submitted, and the agency requests have been submitted. We're aligning those with resources. So that process is very much underway. That budget will come to you in early September for you to review. I believe we're going to be able to achieve the objectives we talked about in the spring. We certainly can't do everything that the departments and agencies want us to do, but I do think we can accomplish the objectives that we set out to do back in April. So that, I believe, is my report.
Thank you, Joe. Frank.
Joe, I'm glad you said something about the public presence in Groton, but I don't want to steal any of Brian's thunder, but that will not be the first time that a group from this legislature has marched in a parade. And I want to remind Nathan and Kathy that some of us got soaked a couple of years in a row walking in the Cancer Alliance walk. For that effort.
We had a banner.
We had a banner. It might have been the precursor to the banner Marsh is talking about. But sorry, Brian, but
yeah.
you're number two.
Thanks, Frank. Appreciate that.
Very important question about Joe's report. Thank you, Frank. County Attorney Jonathan Wood.
Accuracy.
Thanks. I have to say something about Ken Thompson. Ken Thompson died this week, very unexpectedly, at 59. He was, for 23 years, the assistant solid waste manager. He was instrumental in bringing about the closing of landfills and promoting our recycling and reuse facilities. He's also a great guy, fun to work with. And he really served the county residents well, and I think we should acknowledge him. That's my report.
Thank you, Jonathan. Finance Director Rick Snyder, please. We should maybe also mention that in January we'll have 14 legislators and a seat at the table for the Finance Director.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you.
I'd like to present tonight the sales tax report for the second quarter of 2013. In your red folder is our two tables. The first one is the Tompkins County sales tax receipt. And if you refer to that table, you'll see that sales tax distributions for the second quarter were up modestly over 2012. Total distributions were $14,270,000 compared with $14,189,000, which is an increase of 0.57%. The county's portion of sales tax, which is in the second column at the bottom for the second quarter, was $8,026,882. That compares with $7,981,060, which is an increase of 0.57%. And if you turn to the next table, which is the 2013 sales tax distribution summary, this is a year-to-date table. If you look towards the right-hand columns, the year-to-date tax distributions for the county were $15,757,186 compared to $15,548,379 in 2012. And this represents an increase of 1.34, or roughly 1 1/3%. As of June 30th, 2013, sales tax collected as a percent of budget was 48.75%. Historically, we are usually at 48.62% at this time of the year. So we are right on track with our sales tax dollars as of halfway through the year. And that's all I have for this evening. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Rick. Are there any questions? Thank you. I do want to take a moment to acknowledge my hesitation for the last couple of months when I said finance director and I wasn't sure who to ask to the microphone. David, we are going to miss you tremendously. And your service to Tompkins County and to our residents has been legendary. We have, do we have the best bond rating in the state of any municipality?
Almost.
Almost. I know you wanted to get that. We have been guided by you for all these years in making prudent and smart choices. And the times when we wanted to be imprudent, that was up to us. But you told us what we needed to hear. And we are in your debt, and will be for many, many years, for the footing that you've put us on. And I know that we should frame this, the sales tax distribution summary, because it's something that I think you understand better than anybody, and it really means a lot in terms of really how the development in Tompkins County has proceeded because of a rational sales tax distribution policy. There have been many, many achievements, and mostly behind the scenes, except that we noticed. And we certainly will notice when we open our budget books in a month. And we thank you for everything that you've put into that whole process and into our financial foundation. So thank you so much, David. Enjoy your next career, which I think is probably going to involve gumbo and golf, right? I think Jim has something to say. Did you have something?
Yes. All of you have been invited to an event at the Kitchen Theater on Friday at 5:30, and you were invited by Rachel Lempert, and I would suggest that you answer because you would not want Rachel Lempert hunting you down to get an answer. At any rate, it's been described as a roast. So please try to make it. Could be great.
Thank you, David. Do you want to say something? Please.
It's interesting how fast time has gone. When I first started working in the county 21 years ago, I worked in this building. I remember our auditors used to be upstairs. And I just, in the last couple of weeks, you know, these letters to the editor have really kind of inflamed me about the ignorance people are expressing about the investment in this kind of facility. Me personally, I cannot tell you, after every meeting, how crippled I was to get up and hobble out of the legislative chamber from the decrepit furniture Herbert Hoover's administration. It's just so it's bittersweet that this is, you know, my last meeting, because I could actually stand up and not have pain shooting down my legs from the furniture. It's incredible, and actually, I think it's such a wonderful facility. You know, it dignifies the discussions, and I think you'll be well served by it. But on a personal note, it's been a privilege to serve this county. I've just been so fortunate to have this opportunity. I can say that it really does seem like it was just yesterday, and I can honestly say that there's been so many surprises every day that I just couldn't think that I could learn something new or see something I'd never seen before. But that's what's happened in my career here. It's really been quite a ride, and I truly, from the bottom of my heart, thank everybody who's given me the privilege to serve, and I will miss you. And, you know, before I came over here, before I sat down over here, the last meeting, I was determined. My motto in retirement was, yes, you know, I'll be available as long as I don't have to attend another meeting, because sitting in these meetings was really kind of literally physically painful because of the worn-out furniture. And I could say, when I first came here to interview for the job, the building next door was just a shell. The wall, the bricks were still there. There was no roof on the building. And that's how I ended up in this building. And shortly, they completed that. One of the first projects I was involved with was the completion of that, the old jail building. And it's kind of inspiring to be involved in seeing the community develop, because I've been here 21 years. I've seen all the modern facilities built. And I came from a place where there weren't any modern facilities built in 200 years. So once again, thank you very much for giving me the privilege to serve you.
David likes to say, unindicted after all these years. Thank you, David. Where are we? We've already done the resolutions to be added. Consent agenda. All right. If there's anything to hold off, please say so. Resolution A, 4276, decrease in hours, senior caseworker position, Department of Social Services. Resolution B, ID 4275, award of contract, Tompkins County Food Scrap Recycling. And that is the entire consent agenda. Moved by Kathy Liu, seconded by Pat. All in favor, please raise your hand. Any opposed? That's unanimous. Thank you. I would like to go to Resolution E, so I'm going to ask Carol Chuck, Chair of Planning and Energy and Environmental Quality Committee, to take that.
Okay, I am going to be moving. You'll see there's a revision revised as adopted by the Planning, Energy, and Environmental Quality Committee just yesterday in your packets. The sections that we changed from what had been in your legislative packets are in bold. You need me to wait a minute?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Carol.
So I will... I can move this, and then you'll give me a chance again to speak about
it? Yes.
Okay. I will move Resolution E, ID number 4303, revised as adopted by the committee, authorization to procure the services of companies to develop solar, micro-hydroelectric,
and farm waste-to-energy facilities that will generate up to 2 megawatts of electricity. And I so move.
Seconded by Pam. Before we get into that, just a second, put a bookmark here. Okay. I'd like to ask Barb Ekstrom to come to the microphone. We went zooming right by Tompkins County Food Scrap Recycling. So since it didn't get pulled off consent, Barb was hoping to say something about it. So,
tall, but nevertheless, first off, the death of Ken Thompson has really affected me. He was a really good right-hand man to me. But as we move along, we are moving forward in our diversion of waste to be doing more food scrap recycling. And the woman behind me has become one of my favorite partners. Mary Proctor and her husband, Jim Proctor, own Cuba Compost. And amazingly enough, this is a local company that started out as PNS Excavating and have taken on the responsibility for the last 7 years of working with the county, crawling along to divert food scraps from over 100 businesses and creating a wonderful resource in the form of finished compost that's amended with topsoil. This is only the beginning of what will happen over the next number of years, and certainly for the next 5 years, as we go from diverting 60% of our waste stream to over 75%. And the beauty of this is that we're working with a local company, not a company that's national and has other interests. And the costs are cheaper than disposal, and our businesses and our residents will benefit tremendously by having this opportunity. So I wanted to, I don't want to give her a hug in front of everybody, but we've had some really difficult negotiations, and we've had some wonderful opportunity to really trust each other and move forward, not just for 3 years, hopefully for, you know, for a long ways to come. So thank you very much for your support. You've been extremely patient and ready to take on this new endeavor with me and the Proctors.
Thank you, Barb. Would you like to say anything too?
No, just thank you for letting us do this.
Oh, our pleasure. All right. Thank you very much. Nate, and then Kathy Luce.
Well, I actually had a question.
Sure.
The mayor of New Paltz, New York, he recently contacted me and was asking about this compost program and really just wanted to know, I mean, how did it start and what could he do as a mayor in another city to help a local compost business start too?
30-second version?
Yes.
30-second version is look at what's going on around you in the farmland and with companies that are involved in creating a product like topsoil. Look at your resources and look at your relationships. Those are the two key things. And then, of course, you're welcome to send them to me and I can talk to them more.
I will probably do that.
All right. Thank you. Kathy Luce and Carol.
Thank you. One of the reasons I wanted to move this is because a lot of my constituents want Fall Creek to be part of the pilot program. And in talking with Barbara about it, she, and I'm going to paraphrase here, and it's probably wrong, so forgive me, and you can correct it. She was saying that Fall Creek isn't topographically diverse enough, and also that it wouldn't be a fair pilot study because the folks in my district, or the district that is mine right now, would be so enthusiastic about it. And, in fact, I've had a lot of constituents ask about it. I'm thrilled that you've got a local company. It's something that I'm always asking about and that I'll be asking about in the next resolution. Local interests are a really important part of economic development. And I just want to say how pleased I am that we got a local business that's as interested in us as we are in them. Yes. Can we say that loud?
Paying a living wage.
Thank you.
Carol.
Yeah, I just want to add to what Nate said and warn Barb. I've given your name. I met somebody whose daughter
has just been hired in New York City to think about a food scrap recycling program in New York City, and I gave them your name and assured them that you would be able to tell them how to do it. So, okay.
I will personally say that when we started to compost, we like never throw garbage out anymore. It really is a tremendous amount of material that you don't have to throw into the trash. So, thank you. Great initiative. So, back to Resolution E. Carol.
Okay. So I had moved it. Do you want me to, for the form, you want me to read it again? This is, I am moving Resolution E, ID 4303, authorization to procure the services of companies to develop solar, micro hydroelectric, and farm waste to energy facilities that will generate up to 2 megawatts of electricity. And I so move.
Oh, okay.
It was seconded.
Pam.
I'm sorry. It was seconded. I thought we were interrupted. So it was seconded by Pam. Okay.
Right.
I will speak about this a little bit. So back in 1998, Tompkins County, actually legislators from Tompkins County, Stu Stein, who's with us today, and Barb Blanchard and maybe some others, were instrumental in helping to start in concert with Tioga County, the Tompkins-Tioga Electric and Gas Alliance, which eventually became MEGA. And the idea for that was that municipalities could pay a lower price for our power if we banded together with other municipalities and purchased that together. And so we helped to pioneer that as a concept. And when MEGA was here presenting some of their results, I think it was it 2 years ago, we said to them, well, this is great. We're glad that you're saving us money. We're glad that our purchasing power is multiplied. But look at the record on dirty energy. And is there anything that you could do to lead us, not just us, but across the state, lead us to in the creation of cleaner power? And we think that we're not the only ones who would be interested in this. And they said, well, we're not sure. That's not really our aim. They have now come back, a few months ago, came back to Joe and to Jonathan and worked with us and asked us if we would work with them in a partnership to create a new program that would take advantage of a new state law. It is state law 66J of the public service law that allows parties to not only create renewable energy on their property and use it and feed the extra into the grid, but to do it on an off-site. A little bit of press has gone out about this. At the committee meeting, we were very concerned with the details and the wording, and I don't know if my excitement fully came through in what went out to the public before. So I want to make it very clear that I am very excited that Tompkins County will work with MEGA to lead the way for municipalities across New York State to encourage and purchase renewable power. With MEGA's base of 250 counties, towns, and some other entities, at up to 2 megawatts of power each, we hope to achieve the generation of a significant amount of renewable power. MEGA saves dollars for municipalities across New York State. This program will demonstrate that we can scale up the generation of renewable power and create green jobs. So I'm thrilled that they came to us with this, and I hope that my colleagues here on the legislature will support it. Gordon Boyd is here from MEGA, and Stu Stein, who's on the board, if people have questions.
Thank you, Carol. Gordon, why don't you come a long way, so why don't you take a few minutes.
Do we want to actually invite him to sit at the
sure.
table
have
in,
a seat.
In the presentation seat? Or you may come up to the table and sit in our presentation seat if you'd like.
You'll be the first.
Am I the first one to sit in this august
Breaking
position?
Breaking new ground for
very
years.
First. Perfect. Thank you, Stu.
I was resisting taking up Peter Stein's analog to the Viking boat because it reminded me of a scene from Ben-Hur also. and as long as you're all rowing in the right direction, in the same direction, we'll get got somewhere. But anyway, thank you very much. It's good to be here talking about an innovative and progressive alternative to energy procurement that can be added into what we're doing with you already. As you know, we MEGA got started 15 years ago in these precincts. Stu Stein, Barbara Blanchard, Bev Livesay, and others. Frank Proto, I think, was around at the time. And so it's, you know, I think it's we're now, you know, continuing to introduce new products to enhance municipalities' ability to control their costs and to exercise choices to improve the environment. This is one which began as a bill in the legislature a little over a year ago, was adopted as rules of the Public Service Commission just this April, and companies are now on the prowl around New York looking for opportunities. With your resolution today, you have the opportunity to open the doors to for dozens of municipalities that may be eligible to become consumers of this energy, and for dozens of sites for solar, farm waste, and micro hydro projects to be developed, enhanced, and increased in their capacity so that that renewable energy can be directly applied to the consumer's accounts, netting backwards the meter that would have purchased power from the utility. Whatever is generated from the renewable site would cause that meter to go backwards. So it's a potential for saving not only the commodity cost that the consuming account was taking in, but also the utility delivery. And that allows the consumer to enter into an agreement with the generating unit that might pay them a little bit more than they would have gotten from the market. So both ends of the deal come out ahead. Some revenue is lost to the utility, but the Public Service Commission, in its wisdom, has decided to allow that to be sort of washed into the rate base and picked up by society. So I would also like to thank the Environmental Management Council for its support. And a couple of points that Brian made yesterday at the committee meeting is that some of these technologies have the promise of reducing the impact of methane on the environment from farm waste, and also the attendant runoff that can, you know, pollute rivers and streams and lakes. So lots of good things can come from this. We're very excited about it. We can't guarantee that all of this will come about, but we think the pieces are in place, and the partnership with Tompkins County certainly gives us the best chance of success.
Thank you, Gordon. Stu, do you want to add anything?
I think it should just be clear that this resolution is one of several steps. There's no commitment being made to contract for anything by passing this resolution. You might want to explain the timing and the process.
Our plan, if you pass this resolution this afternoon, would be by the middle of the month to issue a draft RFP that would allow eligible suppliers, vendors, companies that are in this business would like to develop any of these approaches to declare their interest in the process. Final RFP would be issued sometime around late September, early October, and the final selection and of preferred providers would be made in November. The preferred providers would then have to approach the municipalities with specific proposals for sites, for technology, for pricing, for long-term commitments, and they would have to work those details out with the consumer municipality. So you're opening the doors to all these possibilities. Projects could be in Orange County, they could be in Franklin County, they could be in Genesee County, and hopefully they'll be in Tompkins County. But through the piggybacking laws in New York State, the New York State Energy Law. We hope to be able to give municipalities a chance to stabilize a portion of their energy requirements through this mechanism, bring investment to renewable energy, create some jobs, maybe additional tax base, and improve the environment.
So. That's a, I think that's a win. So, Peter?
Yes, Gordon. I was puzzled by a statement that you made that I think, I hope I got it right, that there, the generation of power through these new sources does reduce the power that the utility has to produce, but it also reduces the cost of them to produce that power. I mean, why would one have to pay them back for the power that they don't have to make anymore?
No, they're not. We're not paying them back. It's just that when they go to the Public Service Commission for their delivery rate, okay, they say, well, these are all of the costs that it, that we incur in delivering power to all of the customers of NYSEG, wherever they may be located. And so we need to recover those costs in our rate base.
Okay?
Yeah. When they lose a portion of that revenue to a program like this or to a rooftop solar, whatever it may be, they're losing that revenue. They report that estimate to the Public Service Commission, and the Public Service Commission says, we believe you can absorb that in your rate base. So the cost of that, if you will, becomes socialized to the utility. Is that clearer?
A little bit, but that's enough. Okay. I think I sort of understand.
Kathy, and then Frank.
Thank you. I love this idea. I support the idea of government finding ways to encourage renewable energy and also supporting local jobs. And that's where my comment and question comes from. In the same spirit that you were approached to consider MEGA being part of purchasing or helping with the purchase of renewable energy, I'd like to ask and see if I can get some tracking or accounting of in the future how much of the manufacturing of parts that we source for this is manufactured in this country locally, if possible, and also jobs, local jobs, if possible. I know that sometimes the contractors that RFP this, they will subcontract with a company that may not even pay a livable wage, and the people may not even be from this county or this state. I believe that as the common good that's being supported by the PSCs asking the all the people that use NYSEG to pay for the, how do I say this, the foregone transmission costs, I think that it would be reasonable also in encouraging renewable energy to find a way to ask municipalities to encourage local use and participation by supporting manufacturing in this city, in this state, and in this country, and by supporting the use of local labor whenever possible. This is an economic development encouragement process. It's similar to what we're talking about on the Livable Wage Committee, where although it may not specifically, for example, if NYSEG wants everybody to bear the cost of this foregone transmission revenue, it's because it's seen as a public good to encourage renewable energy. In the same way, I think that it's a public good for us to find ways to manufacture the parts here in this country and in this state. And also, I can't help myself, y'all, but to consider the same notion as applied to livable wage and local economics. It's the same idea. So if you have any comments for me on what y'all know about the sourcing that might be asked for or required in the RFP, and anything about the contracting or the subcontracting, and if it's not possible to report that now, even 2 years from now, great strides could be made in this area if people could, like Carol and like Peter and the rest of you, be innovative in your thinking about the local economic effects on this, and I appreciate your time.
We don't know that a priori, seeing proposals from the firms that would respond to the RFP. So we can certainly incorporate some of these considerations in evaluating the proposals that come in, but we don't know how many jobs any particular technology or any particular location would create until a proposer comes in and says, this is what I propose to do.
Can I just ask a follow-up? In the writing of the RFP, it might already be complete, but if there could be supportive language to encourage this sort of procedure. And I believe that with the help of attorneys, you can see to it that it's not in violation of any law, the same way encouraging the use of local energy is supported across the board. I think we need to start encouraging the use of local manufacturing and local jobs.
Can certainly be brought in, yes.
Thank you.
Frank?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Gordon, how's everything in Saratoga?
Races are running.
In response to Peter's question, I want to make sure I understood what you said. Because of this alternative, the potential for this alternative, NYSEG, in our case, NYSEG would reduce what they would be spending to produce the power when they went to the PSC?
No.
Does that mean they spread the cost out to the remaining ratepayers, so the rest of us are paying for NYSEG's loss of income?
Well, I guess when you got to the end of that statement, you were more on target than maybe at the beginning. But the when the utilities go into the Public Service Commission, they have to state what their costs of delivering their service is going to be for the coming, you know, 3 or 4 years, and ask for a rate per kilowatt hour. That anticipates that so many kilowatt hours will be used, and that, of course, depends on everything from weather to all sorts of other variable conditions. They have wages to pay. They have maintenance of the infrastructure. All of that has to be accounted for, and then they have to say, well, we need so many cents per kilowatt hour in order to pay for that. When a program is developed like this one, it was developed out of the legislature, so it was really ordered that the Public Service Commission put this opportunity into regulation. The PSC had to say, okay, well, if people are going to be allowed to install or a 2-megawatt generation unit somewhere and sell to a consumer somewhere else, might be 8, 10, 15 miles away, and it's going to net meter backwards, it means that the cost of the commodity, which was all really that the generating unit was generating, but also the cost of the delivery of that commodity to that meter was going to be subtracted. So the delivery element that was going to be subtracted could be quantified if so many projects were developed, if so much revenue was lost to the utility. And by agreement between the utilities and the Public Service Commission, they developed a rule that allowed that to happen. So I'm asked, what happens to the revenue? Well, the revenue is lost to the utility, but it's made up by the general rate base. And to be frank about it, it's not a big number. And I don't think that by the time the next rate case comes up that they're going to be, wondering where the money went. It's not a big number. We're talking about small projects. They may be big to an individual consumer, but they're not big to the overall utility.
But in order to sustain this program, which sounds like a wonderful idea and an opportunity, once again, the ratepayer on the other end is probably going to have to make up part of the lost income because NYSEG or whoever the generating facility happens to has already had an agreement with the Public Service Commission that they have to remain whole. And we've seen this, for a lot of years, where the ratepayer is consistently making up for the shortfall. I appreciate the fact that this is not going to be a huge number, but the dollar, and even though NYSEG isn't getting paid, I guess, directly, but they are getting it indirectly, to keep the Millikan Station going. We're all paying a buck or two to have power out of there for 2 years, I think it is. The state, thank goodness, has recanted on extending that increase. Where I'm coming from is a buck here, a buck there, you know, before you know it, it adds up to real money. And I'm just concerned that the ratepayer isn't always the... Sometimes money has to come out of profit.
I think that's the judgment the commission made was that the ratepayers also benefit from this because of improved environmental performance of the generating assets around the state, also because these assets are going to be more broadly distributed location-wise. I think we'll actually have reliability improvements in some parts of the state by having increased generation in areas that may be load pockets, where there hasn't been a lot of enough in-zone generation. So there are, I mean, it's the Public Service Commission's role to balance the interests of the individual consumer, the environment, and the ratepayers in general, and also making sure that the utility is given a fair rate of return. I don't want to get into that debate, but that's, you know, that's their job, and this is the rule they've come out with. And ever since MEGA was established 15 years ago, we have watched what's going on at the Public Service Commission, and every time there's been a new change in the rules that's created an opportunity, our role has been to try to leverage our base of consumers to take maximum advantage of that new rule, new procedure, whatever it might be, for the benefit of our municipal customers.
Okay, Carol, and then Peter.
Yeah, so let's be clear. The job of the PSC is to balance the energy production so that there's enough. And right now, all of this type of energy production, plus wind, which is not included here, is something like 2-3% of the energy production in the state. And this will allow it to increase a tiny bit. Hydro is a little bit more than that. But we're not talking about a significant impact, and it's the job of the PSC, as these energy production sources change over time, to make sure that there's enough for the grid. So they will be able to take this into account, and they adjust that every few months or every year, depending on the portion of it that they're looking at. Let's also be clear about where the dollars will go. So the dollars will go to the farmer, maybe right here in Tompkins County, whose field the solar array sits in, will be paid. The dollars will go to the business whose stream in the backyard will be turned into a micro hydroelectric plant, and to the farmer whose waste to energy, I'm not sure exactly how that works.
I think it's usually methane recovery that would otherwise.
So we're talking about distributing the money, not losing the money.
Only if the DEC permits you to put a hydroelectric plant in any one of the creeks.
Okay, Peter?
Well, I'm not sure this is necessary, but if I understand you right, it's easy to think about if you think that, well, NYSEG is not necessarily a power producer. They're also a power distributor.
And they're only a power distributor.
They're only a power distributor. Yeah. So suppose they have... At the moment, one company is giving them 10 megawatts, and that's all there is. Then they've figured out how to charge the ratepayers for the cost it takes NYSEG to distribute 10 megawatts. And now somebody new comes on, and now that company, the company that was producing 10 megawatts is now producing 9 megawatts because this new guy is going to produce 1 megawatt, and that means that there's a decrease in the cost that they're going to pay for the distribution of that. Is that what the issue is or not?
Not quite.
All right, I'm sorry.
A Brand X generating asset located somewhere in this load zone, and the load zone that we're sitting in right now goes from the Pennsylvania border to Oswego County. That is Zone C in the New York Independent System Operator. On a 24/7 basis, New York Independent System Operator is tracking energy usage and energy generation within this zone. And every hour of the day, they are basically running a 24/7 auction to dispatch the most economical power available to meet the needs of the next succeeding hour. So this is going on all the time as we speak. And it's going on at multiple hundreds of megawatts of capacity. What we're talking about here is fractions of that load way down at the end of the food chain. But if I were a solar farm or a hydro project somewhere in this load zone and we didn't have this program, I would be stuck with getting paid based upon that auction, okay, and whether my plant was being called upon to feed in at any moment in time. And I might average 3.5 or 4 cents per kilowatt hour in over the course of a year in that business. We think that under this program, because you're basically allowing these small generating units to enter into bilateral agreements with unique customers, that because of the savings available to the customer, they can pay a little bit more than the independent system auction will allow or provide, and that way those renewable generating units will do better than they would have done without this program.
I got Jim next.
Thank you. I feel really honored and pleased to be able to vote for this resolution. And I hope we can vote on it before the PSC raises the rates again. But this all began right here in this county with Barbara and Stuart. And Jonathan is the county, is the attorney for this organization. And it's a wonderful opportunity for us to regain the leadership that we kind of gave away a few years ago and be a part of this. So I would hope we can all support it rather quickly.
I got Joe and then Mike.
Yeah, the description of the macroeconomics that we just got into, I mean, this goes very deep and it gets very complex. If you pull it back and look at it very simply, I think the right way to look at it is instead of buying all of our electricity from our current provider, which is a firm called Integrys, at call it 6 cents a kilowatt hour, kind of what we're paying, we will buy a portion of our electricity directly from a generator that uses renewable energy sources to create that power. That's basically what it is. We'll take a slice of our electricity purchase, and we will buy it directly from that renewable energy generator. In doing that, in terms of the economics, call it comparable at the beginning. Price is probably going to be about the same. However, by doing it this way, we're also able to stabilize the amount of money that we pay over time. You basically can negotiate what that expense is going to be over time. So you know what it's been to ride the roller coaster over the last 4 or 5 years as Medicaid goes up and pensions go up and utility bills go up and down. This will allow us to stabilize one portion of our electric bill over the course of the long term. So again, it takes a lot of things to get from point A to point B, which is to allow us to buy at a competitive price a part of our energy through renewable sources. But that's really the effect. That's what we will be allowed to do, and it produces a lot of benefits in exchange for all the work that it takes to get from point A to point B.
Thank you, Joe. Mike, and then Dooley.
Jim said exactly what I would like to have said, so that's all I'll say.
Dooley?
I support this resolution because it gets us further into the realm of distributed generation. I think having multiple generators, especially of renewable energy sources, is the future rather than relying on a handful of very large corporations. So I'm happy to support this, and I hope to vote on it soon too, Jim. The only drawback I see, and I want to make clear to my colleagues, is that by doing this, we seem to be accepting the 2-megawatt limit that the state has had in place. It's a lid on which independent generators have to exist, under which they have to exist. And I'm really sorry that we may be giving the impression that that's okay. Nevertheless, for this, it is okay to go ahead. I just would like us to somehow convey to the state in a different manner. That's one of the things that we think should be changed.
Gordon, do you have a couple of sentences on why there's a cap? I have heard that NYSERDA has this 2-megawatt cap because they only have a limited amount of money to subsidize. Is that
the NYSERDA cap is in connection with on-site renewable. So if you could consume 2 megawatts of capacity, you could install 2 megawatts of renewable capacity, and then if you generated a 5 or 10% beyond that, you could feed that back into the grid. And that's for the on-site. And that's existing rules and regulations. The 2-megawatt cap for these off-site projects was passed in the law and ratified by the Public Service Commission. I think that there was probably I wasn't privy to the discussions in the legislature. I wasn't following it that closely at that point. But I think that between the utilities always being resistant to allowing bigger sources of generation to just plug into the grid, and the interest of especially the renewable energy community in wanting to have lots of small projects and not have, you know, large corporations take over the whole renewable picture either, you have the possibility for a lot of entrepreneurship in this field that I think at 2 megawatts is going to come about. I wouldn't be surprised, and I said this at the committee meeting yesterday, I wouldn't be surprised, but in 2, 3, 4 years, they decide to raise it to 5 megawatts or 6 megawatts or something like that and allow it to get bigger, in which case we'll be right back here in the room organizing another tranche of opportunity.
Jonathan, did you want to say something?
Oh, no. I was just going to say the 2-megawatt limit is what it says in law.
Right. I just wonder why.
Oh, okay. Yeah. The why is the reason why we're doing this is because that's what the law is.
Right.
Period.
Right. Kathy Lewis.
I'm for this. I hope it's unanimous. Let's vote.
All right. Ready? All in favor of Resolution E as revised by the committee? Please raise your hand. That looks unanimous. Any opposed? That's unanimous. Thank you very much. This is really groundbreaking, and it's very exciting. Thank you, Stu. Thank you, Gordon. And send our best to Barbara.
We will. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I'm thinking maybe we want to take a recess now at this point. All right. So the mic cuts out.
Do you want me to give the rest of my report first? Or
if you can do that, yeah.
Later.
Sure, go ahead.
Okay, well, duly, I will say that if it's the will of the legislature, I'd be happy. We've talked in the past about the committee somehow trying to weigh in on state energy policy and encouraging New York State to raise limits like this. And if it's the will of the legislature, we will figure out how to do that in a general way, not related to any specific plant, but in terms of energy policy and how we get to more renewables. We had a meeting yesterday, August 5th. I will say we have a new staff member in the planning department. If you call the planning department, you will reach Mary Lou Sabel, who yes, so many of you know Kathy Wilsey retired, so that is who you will reach. There are resolutions that will be coming to us next time at our next meeting. This one we wanted to bring right away because they want to proceed with the RFP. We heard something about the flood hazard mitigation program, presentation by Scott Doyle, and you will hear more about that. You should be watching for more on the Tompkins County, the update of our comprehensive plan, and on the Biggs property, which planning for that is proceeding. We passed with flying colors an audit of our CDBG program. We are applying for money through the Department of State Waterfront Revitalization Program related to planning for the DOT site, trying to move them to their new spot in Dryden. So we're applying for money to help with that. And we had a lively discussion about
potential application related to the production of biomass and wood pellets that the planning department is working on. There's an opportunity to apply for some money to help a business that produces wood pellets and to help businesses that want to purchase that and ramp up their wood pellet burning, but we had the discussion about the need for to make sure that we do that in concert with good policy about air quality if we're going to promote that. Our September meeting date is still uncertain, so I will try to bring you a date next time. We're still having our normal meeting would be next on Labor Day, so we are working on a new date. That's all I've got.
Thank you, Carol. Any questions? All right. Before we go to recess, Aurel, are you waiting for the facilities report?
No.
You're just hanging out?
Just
enjoying the new
date. Just loves the room so much.
Just don't want to leave. Okay. I don't want to. Andrea, is there anything in particular you're waiting for? I'm sorry, what?
Foil policy.
Foil policy. Okay. That's under GO. Let's see. Is that something we think we can do quickly?
No.
Okay. All right. Well, let's take a 10-minute recess. Please be back in your seats at 25:00. Thank you.